Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Ram. Welcome back.
Yes, shalom, Sister Rhea. Glad to be back, refreshed.
Amen, amen. I'm going to turn everything over to you. This is your run. This is your ministry. Amen. Everybody, welcome Mr. Rob Christensen back. And me and my husband always get this. I don't know if he's right or I'm right, but I'm going to write this down. We're going to ask you again. Now, is it invisible powers, visible secrets, or visible secrets, invisible powers?
Very good. Yeah, it's a little confusing. It's visible secrets, invisible power. But, you know, I do want to say something that in regard, you can also switch it. The visible secrets are the so-called contrails. That's the secret. They're not contrails. They're aerosol trails with nanoparticles of aluminum, polymers, and surfactants, all kinds of junk sprayed in the sky that these cloud seeding materials can be used to manipulate the weather. And what helps steer the clouds is radio wave frequency or radio frequency microwaves that interact with these particles. In other words, you have a ground tower that transmits power, but it's invisible power, but it interacts with the power of the particles, that excites the particles, that pushes them in one direction. It's hard to fully describe, but let's face it, it's so powerful that it can bend the jet stream. It can bring down cold from the north while heating up the North Pole. So, you know, swapping heat. So in effect, there's ways to mask the severity of a collapsing climate, an abrupt climate change where the heat over the years, over the decades of militarized, industrialized society has, you know, been sponged up by the ocean. And as that melts the polar ice, yes, as long as there's ice, we still have cold. But at the more rapid pace of ice melting, the more we cloud over the globe with this is a global technology, the more heat is trapped. So we can have these short down toxic cool downs, either by chemicals to drop the temperature of moisture, or by this radio frequency technology to cook the sky and exchange heat up the north and bring down the cold from the north, you know, by bending the jet stream. So that's a mouthful there, but just the point is it's extremely powerful. And it hides the problem so that the power structure that is so deeply throughout from local to global taking this world in the wrong direction. And it's an emergency that we can face, but we just have to know it's there. So what can be done is spread the word as soon as possible to build that critical mass of people to realize that, you know, we do need radical revolutionary change now, not later, to buy the sense of the, what the media, which is part of this power structure, where the media and scientific reports from academia, from lawmakers, from the legal profession, from religious organizations, from nonprofits, so often the news is so bad, it's prefaced by, well, this might happen, could happen, may happen in the future, may happen 20 years from now, when things are actually happening now. And, you know, where it's not to panic, but it's to, with great courage, to face the problem. And I use the analogy of the collapse of the 35W bridge in Minnesota, where the community already had an emergency plan in operation. So they were able to call on all these emergency services immediately to deal with preventing, you know, more deaths from this bridge collapse. And of course, along with that, people had the presence of mind to save lives, forgot about themselves, and just did these courageous, miraculous saving of people drowning. So it's the never give up scenario that is modeled by this Dane Wigington, who has discovered how destructive this technology is. So with that, yes, visible secrets, invisible power. But how should I say? This invisible power is visible. There's satellite evidence. We can see what this power looks like by satellite. So that, you know, one can reverse this. And when I say visible secrets, well, in a way it is invisible. So cleverly has NASA, government agencies, covered over what these lines in the sky are, that the lines in the sky are invisible to us. They've been there for a long time, for decades, and we're so used to seeing them as contrails, they become invisible to our conscious. We don't think anything of it. It's just part of the background of the sky. So that's a very good question, Sister Rhea, that, you know, which way do you go with this? Both ways are good, but I prefer visible secrets, invisible power. That's the best way to describe climate engineering, weather warfare, solar radiation management. But again, the last word I'd use is the public word, chemtrails, because that's part of the cleverly woven culture of disinformation, to use some kind of slang word to describe something that is scientifically happening. And as soon as you have a semantics problem, a slang word, people, it becomes conspiracy theory. It's just a key word for, oh, chemtrails, that's conspiracy, that's not real. And it is real interesting today how in a corporate world, you could call it fascist, where private enterprise has taken over government in many ways. Google, where 88% of the people search items. Google, YouTube, they have the power now to censor things that are so-called conspiracy theories. So they can have a policy where white supremacy, conspiracy theory, oh, these things we have to screen out. We're going to knock them out of our website. So, for example, Dane Wigington's website, geoengineeringwatch.org, if you look up the word geoengineering, you will find he was the very top item in Google. And now, geoengineering, if you type that into Google, Dame Wigington's website is gone, or you will not find anything. So from number one, he went to zero, unfindable. That's censorship. And even though it's not a government agency doing, the private sector has so much power. And this ties into, you know, my title of the day, which is what to do, but to thine own self be true. So doubts are created over time and as we live through time. And there was a saying that goes, a population of sheep begets a government of wolves. So in this time of miraculous technology and so much distraction and information in the media, where you could call it political theater, where candidates will hassle over all kinds of issues, talking about incremental or small changes they can make here and there, and yet we just don't see that kind of progress. It's more of a gridlock that people get frustrated with. We know, the public knows much more has to be done in regard to the climate, for example. As I've said many times, that's the number one issue. So, to thine own self be true. Maybe that's from Shakespeare. Maybe it's in Proverbs somewhere. But what it simply means is to get so entertained and let that rule our lives, we tend to drop responsibility. The famous psychologist Stanley Milgram put the question very well. He says, he was famous for psychology experiments. I've talked a bit about him. But he said there's far-reaching consequences when we get so distracted and we drop responsibility of our children's future, for example. We're not looking ahead. We're just kind of into our baseball game or whatever. From this, there's a submission to the power structure, to the government, to the, you know, the criminal power structure as it stands today. You know, that may be an opinion, but his statement about the far-reaching consequence that, you know, if we're like sheep, another person put it in a simple way, a population of sheep begets a government of wolves. And, you know, that's exactly where the hierarchy and its people climb to power and think they're God and, you know, are charged with life and death. You know, they tend to want, there's an addiction to power. They want to hold on to it. And there's just so many ways to the psychology of power, to understand it. They can rule people. They can divide and conquer. They can create this eternal war that, you know, candidates from both sides, the Republicans and Democrats, have talked about. People like Ron Paul, Republican, or Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat, both have mentioned how we need to cut military spending because of this wasteful war that threatens all of us. And unless we delve deep into that, you know, we're in real trouble. And I'm also reminded of Marianne Williamson, who is a candidate who, you know, is not going to get the popularity. We tend to go with the safe candidates, the establishment, as we vote, because, you know, our power structure system doesn't really leave much room for fringe candidates. You know, they're part of conspiracy theory or discredited quickly. And, you know, I thought it was interesting what she said, is that we can take these wonkish policy discussions about what to do with this or that, whether it's gun control or what else, immigration. Yes, they're important. But the overriding issue, as she said, it's this dark psychic force. Unless we address that, unless we delve deeper, we may be in real trouble as far as making progress, the kind of progress that, you know, brings people together and prevents these needless wars, and including the war on nature. And again, this fundamental 10,000-year journey, it seems to be that, you know, a war on nature has taken over. And like Edward Abbey, the national forest ranger, you know, once said, we need to live simply so that others can simply live. And again, getting back to thine own self be true, I think of an example in my life, how I slowly developed this uncomfortable feeling about things, but, you know, kept on with my happy youth. I come from a sheltered suburban life, couldn't be better. I was loved with the family. I had a nice school to go to, a lot of different things I could do to have fun. A very insulated world. Yet I knew that, you know, there may be a school that I didn't go to where kids fight a lot. And, you know, I'd heard about it. I remember seeing Life magazine in the Vietnam War and wondering why they call them guerrillas. I, you know, an innocent kid will say they don't look like guerrillas to me. And obviously that's a word, guerrilla, that's guerriere, or, you know, a Latin form of warrior. But how, you know, just insane seeing these pictures on Life magazine of the Vietnamese, North Viet Cong, they were just people to an innocent kid, so it didn't make much sense. So these things linger in people's lives, whether you're from a sheltered suburb or you probably catch on a lot quicker coming from, you know, more harsh circumstances. But yet those circumstances are so hard to overcome. And it's so true when it's said that people in poverty and whatnot, when they have to scramble to make ends meet, there's obviously emotions, anger, stress that reduces one's ability to cope, that reduces intelligence in many ways, because there's so much fear, emotion that has to be, that's right in front of you. Whereas in my personal sheltered life, I created my own fears. I went through depression and so forth in high school. But again, these lingering things that, yes, I live in a comfortable world, but the unease of knowing that, for example, an atom bomb was dropped. I remember as I was probably 7 years old when a discussion among, you know, us youthful kids about, yes, the atom bomb had to be dropped. It was the right thing to do. And how can, you know, one deal with that? Even as a kid, it's like, what? You know, it's, yeah, I guess I'll go on and that's the right thing to do. But, you know, I wasn't there and it doesn't sound right. So again, to thine own self be true, you know, and the treasure hunt for truth. Truth is, you know, the ultimate lead to happiness. Comfort is not. And I kind of lost my train of thought here, but bear with me. It's, you know, out of discussions like that, as I became an adult, Cuba came up. And I again, there's another clue to, you know, my slow understanding of the big picture. And I'll credit myself for being a curious person, exploring why is it that a puny little country like Cuba, with so much anger in the people, our government, the politicians, you know, it's just, can't people have their own government? You know, can't they have their own preference? And so that was a stepping stone. And then finally, another one, to thine own self be true, that's what investigation is all about. If something makes you uncomfortable about the big picture, check into it, dig for the facts, discuss with people, even if it makes them feel uncomfortable, get feedback. So the bombing of Panama, that really opened my eyes. Again, there's just, I investigated it. I found out all the United Nations violations that the United States government just went roughshod over reasonable, well put together, consensus, common sense policy to, you know, to advance these wars. So eventually I come to realize that, with the military-industrial complex warned about by President Eisenhower, warned about Smedley Butler in the 1920s, years and years ago. This war on ourselves as humans, this war on the world as a whole, you know, how did we come to be this way? And that, you know, that has led me to biblical scripture, exploring, you know, the spiritual, religious, moral practices, not just from the Bible, but, you know, kind of looking at other religions too, where there's these universal truths that are sacred that people practice. But at the same time, things get left out, things get misinterpreted. So it's one's personal responsibility to sort through as best they can the facts that are in front of them, the reality of the day, abide by the Bible, pray for spiritual guidance, and follow through on it. And often that requires a lot of courage. And that's the easiest thing to put behind sometimes. It takes some energy to do so. And over the summer, one thing that's helped me a bit is, you know, the people of the First Light, Eastern philosophy. We have our Western culture and way of doing things, but I think whether Jesus Christ himself was very much part of this mindfulness, where if one really is in the here and now, the mind plays tricks. It can look forward, it can look backward. So if you look backward and you have an ugly memory, and if that shapes the view of who you are misled. Or if you look in the future and have these high hopes and you live only for those hopes and kind of forget about the present, you may never find those hopes and dreams. You may never reach them. So the Bible teaches it. The Sufis, or, you know, there's all forms of wisdom from masters. And I'm not talking psychologists here. One lesson I've learned with some marital friction and so forth is a psychologist can help you adjust to an insane world, which, you know, it helps to cope for a while, but it's still an insane world. Whereas a master, whether it be Jesus Christ or the Buddha, they all have, and especially as I find in Jesus Christ and find out in the Gnostic Gospels as well, as I've explored, they set the bar, they show the way, and some of their messages I've talked about a little bit, where Jesus, to me, sets a great example when he says, you know, with agriculture and farming, why must we work and toil and sweat and put so much energy into it? Just like this capitalist system, so much energy. When I was on vacation, for example, I'm at Breezy Point, cheesy Breezy Point, where everything is wonderful with lakes and forests. Again, being in a part of the world where we are anonymously cool compared to the rest of the severe warming planet. What I see now is radio towers. Those same radio towers that produce the electrosmog, that those same radio towers have the power to steer clouds. And you walk right next to one in the middle of the forest, and you see this huge box, and you hear this loud noise of a generator. And, you know, first of all, to put that tower there, how much energy did that cost the earth? The external cost of all our technosphere technology, our tech fixes, how much energy is it? The earth does not have the capability to take all that heat and send it off. It's, you know, the forest fires that are happening in the Arctic right now, these are all signs of extinction. So we're at this critical juncture, in my humble opinion, that we're in a state of emergency. But again, to thine own self be true. The state of emergency, though it may be the most unpleasant thing one has ever faced, you are in a state of mindfulness. If you're not completely panicking, but you're courageously dealing with the situation and you find courage that you never thought you had, you're in the moment. You're totally aware and you're doing what you have to do, and time does not exist. You're not worried about the future. You're not worried about the past or have some kind of bad self-image. You're acting to save somebody's life, perhaps. You're diving into a lake, grabbing somebody's body and bringing them up. Whereas in recent El Paso, there was a military man who ran toward the shooter, knowing what to do, and he saved children's lives. He was able to grab a bunch of children and get them out of there. So that's an example where, you know, extremes, where you face the storm, you face with courage what you have to do, and you will be safe as you do it because you're in the now, and we all have this incredible spiritual power that we can find within ourselves, this sage that is within. You know, creation over time, whether it's a small creature or a big creature, there's just some kind of magical thing about us when we're calm and able. You know, we can be an artist. We can have a great moment of sex that we're made for. We're not mindful of any future or past. We're just in the moment. We're at ease, even in an emergency. So that's where, you know, in my time of adulthood of 6 decades of having still young adults that, you know, my wife gave birth to my kids, it's a choice now where there's a lot of temptations out there. I like going to the soccer games. The Loons, my favorite home team, won recently. But I know that, you know, to go on, we are in a state of emergency. And this summer, I'm, you know, as I have for the last 3 years, I'm hiding at times, but at times I've made progress. To be true to thine own self, I've approached the Metro State University, looking to enter graduate studies, looking to get this climate engineering topic out to students, out in debates at college campuses, so we can, you know, spread the spot fires of awareness. I've made a banner. I paid a little money for some materials from the geoengineering website, factual materials. These materials, when you give them to somebody, the photo fact information, that's what gets the job done. Just talking to people about the topic and maybe giving a website just doesn't do much. Maybe 1 out of 20 will even look at the website, even though you have a moment of intense information that you give to people and fascinate them. There's nothing like giving them a physical picture, very credible information to get them going. That allows them to think for themselves, not somebody like myself to feed a bunch of information in a spurt, but to let them do the work of investigation and leave it up to them. So with that, do we have any questions? I should pause. You're hearing my new phone okay? Well, I'll continue on. And I believe it was June 8th, Dane Wigington. I just want to read a little bit about what he says. That's the toughest question, perhaps, is to understand why leaders are at war with the world. Because these are people that they give us many half-truths. They show us courage. They stand up for issues. They are our leaders. We vote for them. How nice it would be if we could just vote and let them do the rest of the work. But then again, you know, with large events, false flag events like 9/11, how many people have looked into it? Gradually more are. But again, we need, unless we quickly discover the gravity of events like 9/11 and operations like climate engineering, we're in deep trouble. There may, you know, it's interesting to me, an academician who's a scientist, his name is Guy McPherson, he takes the opinion that we're going to go into a climate meltdown, so why bother doing anything about it? We're already done. We're already toast. That it's not going to happen now, but just a few years, there will be nothing we can do. And so it's better to go in mourning. You know, just live the best you can for the time you've got and just let things happen. And if, you know, if I were to do a survey at Metro State and U of M or wherever, I'd ask people, okay, you can rank the climate as severe climate heat, or you can actually ask the question about extinction. When do you think we'll go extinct? Or do you think we'll go extinct? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are we at? And so to get back to Dane Wigington, this is what he said, you know, about the extinction direction we may be headed toward. And yet this man never gives up. He sets an example. So if the paradigm is not altered, why those in power would want to destroy the world? That is the question. The destruction is a consequence of the current paradigm, not an object in and of itself. Further, responsible parties are not just those in power. Societies that stand idly by and are active or passive participants in the current paradigm also are a burden of responsibility. Those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive support of society. What I covered answered to some degree why those in power do this to themselves. But there is also this to consider in regard to that question. Those who are addicted to power are afflicted with various forms of psychosis. The common thread is, and this is from psychoanalysis, they lack rational comprehension regarding consequences of their action and to themselves. In other words, those in power behave like a cancer, and societies as a whole actively or passively go along with the dictates of those in power, remaining willfully ignorant in regard to the planet's imploding life systems, or such events as 9/11, where Building 7 went down by an office fire in 7 seconds. Even though there's the strongest steel frame, multiple reinforcements, where any architect and engineer worth their 2 cents would say, no, this is impossible. And by the way, you know, lawsuits, acts of Congress, a lot of progress is being made now toward bringing out awareness of 9/11. So must we not consider such segments of society a part of the cancer? Again, those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive cooperation and participation of the societies being ruled. Consider that the detonation of over 2,000 nuclear bombs in our planet as experiments, with the exception of the extermination of mass civilian populations in Japan by nuclear bombs, by our country, contaminating every living thing on the planet. Did that stop those in power? No. And at the same token, have we stopped climate engineering? They're doubling down on it right now. So did civilian populations carry out continuous protest until nuclear detonation insanity stopped? And the answer is no, unfortunately. Another question. When will the halls of academia summon their courage to stand up and tell the whole truth, starting with the full acknowledgement and disclosure, starting of the global climate engineering insanity? Dane says he gets many emails stating this regarding the climate engineering assault. Why don't you, Dane, tell us how to fix this? Or why haven't many been able to stop this yet? For the record, every single Geoengineering Watch post has links to our activist suggestion pages. Very detailed explanations of how to help in this battle. And again, this summer, it's been a pleasure to order some materials, have it on hand, give it to library personnel, set up possibilities where I can have a table where hundreds of people that walk by will be viewing this photo fact exhibit, again, doing more than any words can do. He talks about the homepage where you can find this. And finally, many in our society are conditioned to avoid facing unwanted truths, or if they're willing at least temporarily to examine dire realities, it is often on the condition or premise that someone is willing to provide them with a fail-proof magic cure to fix it all. And again, ironically, one of the cures to fix it all is this myth that, oh, by the way, there's this new thing called climate engineering. It may be a little dangerous, but we should do it. That we can help fix the global heating problem. So to this day, they're pretending it hasn't happened, when in reality, they've been doing this for 70 years. It's just a huge lie that many in Congress or academia or whatever sector of society, it's just an act of denial. It's dishonesty. And there again, to thine own self be true. So if what others say brings a question mark, please test it out. Do your own investigation. Rely on yourself. And I, you know, as an aside, I think of Kim Iverson. She does a lot of political commentary on alternative media. She's a very effective voice against eternal war, and, you know, all the dangerous directions we're going against Iran, where, for example, the false flag lie by the public and people like John Bolton at the top of the ladder, where the report of torpedoes going to a Japanese tanker, that was false flag. That was a Gulf of Tonkin, just like in Vietnam, that elevated the war. Here they're trying to do the same darn thing, Gulf of Tonkin-like lie, where the Japanese crewmate said, no, the reports of a torpedo are not true. We were shelled from above. So again, you know, how important it is not to take for granted what you see on the mass media or mainstream media, that can be such a tool of propaganda, dangerously parallel to the time of the Nazis in World War II. So that's a bit of an aside, but it was back to Kim Iverson. She made a comment about how Trump as president maybe isn't quite so bad as some of the war hawk establishment Democrats, where many of the Democrats are step in line about Bashar Assad as a dictator demon, you know, an excuse that, yes, we do have to use military might to help take over this regime and make it right. You know, the regime change policy that is so destructive. Well, as she was talking about Trump, that, you know, he's backed off of Venezuela, he's backed off of Afghanistan. Maybe he's not so bad. But it was really interesting. There was a, I just kind of went hook, line, and sinker, not even, I'm so used to following her and kind of applauding her. But at the same time, she did not expose anything about all the weapons that Mr. Trump had sent to Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is in the act of genocide against Yemen. You know, it's just insane when you really examine. So here's a woman that, you know, I agree on many aspects, but again, to thine own self be true. When one gets lulled by somebody of authority or somebody that appears so sharp, sometimes we forget to rely on ourselves. So there again is my theme that I impart. So back to finish Dean Wigington and what he had to say, which was so poignant. It is often on the condition or premise that someone is willing to provide them with a fail-proof magic cure to fix all. So, yeah, we can just get solar cars, for example, and everything will be fine. But again, people question the amount of energy it takes to make factories to produce solar-engineered cars or electric cars. I'm not against that, but it goes much deeper because we cannot continue burning energy. Somehow we're going to have to chill. So there is no silver bullet. There is no easy way forward. It's just going to take everybody waking up, and those with every fiber of their being, as myself, that is my direction, and I have failed in many regards to go all out. But it, you know, it's, again, just being present for the moment, not letting my past failures get to me, and knowing there's a goodness within. Not worrying about whether I make a big splash to stroke my ego that I'll, you know, by jumping into this planet-saving direction that, you know, there'll be some future reward. No, that's not what this is about. It's just being me now, knowing that my kids face a bad future. That's all it is. It's not about social approval. Maybe that would come with time, but that's something to leave alone. So we must do our best to sound the alarm to awaken the masses. This is the first and most important link we can make to alter the current suicidal trajectory of the human race. This battle cannot be waged without an army of the awakened. We cannot raise such a movement without all who are already awake doing their individual parts. We will sink or swim together. All are needed to do their parts now. Tomorrow is too late. Each of us has a part to play in this ongoing epic fight for the greater good. And again, the greater good being to stop this war with nature, to stop this war against our own population. We have exempted ourselves in many ways from natural laws. You know, an animal like a lion, as I've said before from this book, Ishmael, the example was used of lions. Do they go out destroying the species that compete with them? No. If one crosses their bounds, they may kill it, but they don't go to war with, I'm trying to think of the name of the animal. I'm kind of, but I can't think of the name right now, but, you know, other species that compete with the lions for food, they don't go and kill it. Yet, with humans, since this direction of agriculture where civilizations were built, we were more of a tribal nature. Yes, we were just the same old humans back then, but for probably a couple million years coexisted where we'd have a skirmish. But there was not really, it's very doubtful in my opinion, and I also have some written material to back this up, that before the onset of agriculture, we were, the tribes would not necessarily go to war and totally wipe out, you know, another human tribe. But that did happen at some point. That did allow the agricultural path to grow and plow more land, make more people, and kill more other species in the process, including plants or other competing animals for food crops. But again, with agriculture, there was an independence from, you know, weather and natural phenomenon like drought. If you can store food, you can live through a drought, which is good. But at the same time, that doesn't exempt us from the natural law of limited competition. In other words, I consider some of our leaders, for example, John Bolton, hyper-predatory, a hyper-predator. He's gone beyond predation. He wants to go to war. He wants more resources, whether it's Venezuela, you know, dark forces fight for resources. And the end of it is, if we are the end all be all, if we are the gods, if we are above all species and separate, then our job is to end creation. And that's the scary thing. That's exactly what we're doing with the warrior predatory mentality. So all is at stake. We need to make our voices heard and share credible data from credible sources. Again, climate engineering, there's sketchy analysis of it. There's people using the word chemtrails, which already gets dismissed. There's people attributing the lines in the sky just to local cloud seeding for crops, which is good, but totally overlooking the fact that this is a global, powerful phenomenon enough to change the jet stream, to bring down a polar vortex, to create weather whiplash, drought and deluge, shredding of the ozone, dangerous ultraviolet coming down, which quickly melts the ice, along with all the thousands of other ways and means that we've used with technology, with carbon fuels, with, you know, carbon combustion and various forms of pollution. So with that, I'll just again double check if there's anyone in the audience, or Brother Job, Sister Rhea, if you have any questions. I'll wait a moment to get some feedback.
But they're calling from the internet, and they just hung up. They might call back again. So if they call back again, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up their line, and they might say, hello, hello. If they do, just answer them.
Oh.
But they're calling from, they're calling from the internet.
So. Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for them to call back. Do you have anything to say, Brother Joe?
Yeah, well, I can continue on with some of
go ahead, brother. And then if they come back on and they press number one again, I'm just going to open up the line just so that they're on the internet. So they might say, hello, hello, but they're just there unmuted, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a bit of an echo, unfortunately, as we talk back and forth.
Okay, I'm going to mute my line. That's my line. I apologize.
Okay, well, you know, as soon as there's a question, I'll just stop me, and I'll be glad to have a dialogue. But I just wanted to go over, since the summer has had many one-hour radio blogs every Saturday, there's just so many incredible, often alarming facts about the climate. And that's why Geoengineering Watch, Danny Wigington, is always on the watch for news about the climate and about the biosphere, about the web of life. And one of the things I found interesting recently, just a few days ago, catastrophic engineering of forest fires. There's all kinds of satellite evidence of the fact and strategy of climate engineers is that if they burn the forests very hot and intense, as they have, for example, in California, or as they are burning now in the tundra, where we're losing oxygen-giving forests, this smoke is so intense, it goes to a high altitude. The higher the altitude, the more effective the cover. So it does have a short-term cooling effect, only to be followed by intense heat. But again, these short-term cooling effects are very confusing. You know, they divide people. It's, again, going to the last moment possible, something that these dark forces, psychic dark forces, leaders, whatever you want to call them, people, scientists, political leaders have known since the 1950s. We are headed in a direction of, you know, extinction due to overheating, overcombustion. But again, the addiction of power and control has such insanity going on right now, where what good is a forest fire if it destroys oxygen life-giving trees? What good is pouring nanoparticles of aluminum in the sky, on the air we breathe, the water that we drink, and the soil that we grow food from, and trees? Again, one of the things this summer was from a neuroscientist from Germany explaining what nanoparticles of aluminum do. Not only are they deeply found in heart tissue, you know, these findings are coming out every day. We're just loaded with these metals in our tissues. And the neuroscientists explained very well that aluminum in the soil and in the Earth's crust is not dangerous. It is bound up with silicates, you know, sand, glass. They neutralize. But when you take aluminum out in pure form and then spray it in these less than microscopic particles called nanoparticles, what you have is a poison, because the aluminum is short of electrons, which means it's going to react with other chemicals. Because it's so small, it can get into our blood-brain barrier. It can, you know, it's studies now confirm Alzheimer's, autism are related to aluminum. And also the vaccines that have aluminum adjuvants and other chemicals are so risky. Some people get by, but the Supreme Court has ruled if you take vaccinations, you are at your own risk. They can't condone vaccinations. And yet the pharmaceutical industrial complex gets paid big time for flu vaccinations and the multiplying amount of vaccinations, which makes big money for the pharmaceuticals. Seems we used to have maybe four vaccinations when I was a kid 60 years ago, four or five at the most. So always interesting to hear this free radio program on every Saturday with geoengineeringwatch.org. It's a free program that can be played anytime to get the facts out. Another interesting thing was, and I'll wrap it up pretty soon, noctilucent clouds. These are methane clouds. That is a really ominous, bad sign of things to come. These clouds were marked at the furthest south as they've been. Normally, they come from the far north where the glacial ice melts and the methanes that are inside the ice, tremendous amounts, enough to destroy the planet, called Venus Syndrome, where methane is like a greenhouse glass. The more methane, the more heat to this planet, many times over compared to carbon. It's not just from cows that methane comes. It's from the ice in multiple thousands of times more so than any population of cows is going to do. So, again, it's disturbing news, but a cup of courage. We've all got it. We just need to find peace within ourselves. We need to worship. We need to pray and go on with a balanced life where, you know, I needed my vacation. I recovered. My body felt better. So I'm glad to bring this program to a close and just say that I'm embarking on writing letters, whether it's to candidates or friends, about climate engineering and its threat, and that we can do something about it. We can stop it. And just continuing on, as Dane Wigington says, with every fiber of our bodies, let's do all we can, because we are at the most critical time this planet has ever experienced. Again, you can't always trust scientific studies, but I think it is interesting that 12,000 years, the climate after billions of years, the last 20,000 years, I forget the exact figure, but the climate has been in equilibrium. The cold matches the warmth. There may be a temporary cold snap, extreme cold, some drought, but the overall equilibrium of the Earth has stabilized more than any other time in the forever history of this planet, to this so-called Garden of Eden. But again, in the blink of an eye, 10,000 years as compared to millions of years is just a blink of an eye. So as civilization has developed, it unfortunately it's been a war on nature, as if nature is anarchy and we are the ones to order it. But by ordering nature, we are creating anarchy, whereas the anarchy of nature is really the most complex, wonderful arrangement that we have every right to belong to it, but we have no right for it to belong to us. So with that, I'll close. That's from Mr. Quinn, the author of Ishmael. So unfortunately, well, I'll have to work my phone to get so we can do dialogue without the echo. But I look forward to getting back into a bi-weekly discussion. So with that, I'll close, and I thank you for your time.
Amen. I don't know if my King Priest is on because we're both just leaving work. Are you there? You may not
yes.
be. Okay. Oh. Brother Joe, are you there? Okay. Well, he may or may not be there, but Brother Rob,
yeah.
Any closing remarks before we close out this afternoon?
No, I just, yes, thanks for asking. You know, with the trauma of the politics and the events of El Paso and Ohio and all everything happening, it's, again, it's not a time to give up. It's a time for resilience. It's a time to bounce back. And my sadness, it's too easy to get caught up in our own personal wants and not take time to, you know, reflect, somehow connect with the hurt that's going on. It's easy just to express our anger that it's happening, and our shame. But again, you know, there's been some incredible responses. And just as with this war on Earth, it's exciting to be a part of saving the planet. And I think we all share that to some degree. It's hard news. It takes courage, but we will find a way. So with that, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Rob Christensen. We really appreciate you. It was an honor, and we missed you. We really missed you, and we're glad. We all needed it, like you said. We all needed that. Sometimes you need time to reflect, to regroup, reorganize, meditate, focus. So it was a great, great, great release. Yes, yes. And
thank you.
I just thought. And then some people just called in right now and said, did he just start or when did it start? So everybody's getting back on track. Yes, everybody's getting back on track. And I think that was Brother Peter calling from Israel that wanted to talk to you, but he tried the question button. That was his first time doing that long distance like that. So next time I'll be more prepared with him pressing the button so you can speak with Brother Peter from Israel. He had a few questions for you. He was trying to. Yeah, he was trying to tag you, and I told him you weren't on Facebook as of yet. So,
Well, I'm happy I got a brand new phone, so at least, you know, I'm clearer this time. Just got that a couple days ago, so it's a start.
You are so clear. I wanted to tell you that, yes, this is an awesome phone. We can really hear you clear. There's no static. Yes, yes, so awesome, awesome. But is there another way that just in case if they had a question and then they were like kind of didn't want to answer it, ask it over the radio blog, is there a way that they can contact you like through email or another, you know, form of contact if somebody wanted to ask you a question?
For now, my email would be the best off the top of my head, and I'll think more on this. I'm sure there's other better ways, but. Yeah, I have a computer, so I can check the email as I'm speaking. And that would
okay,
be great.
So you don't mind giving out your email right now to those that would like to contact you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and what is your email, Mr. Christensen? I don't have my Gmail open. What is your email for everyone?
Well, I have an alternative email. It's from Google, and I'm just going to get the card. It hasn't been used much, but, you know, it's my climate engineering category. My personal email is pretty flooded, so this would be better, and I got it in just a second here. Okay, my email is, Christensen, that is Christensen, R, the letter R, 090 at gmail.com.
Okay, so that's Christensen090 at gmail.com.
Okay, well, it's Christensen R090.
Oh, R.
After Christensen.
Okay.
Yeah.
The letter R.
Don't ask me why I put it that. Yeah.
That's all right. So your last name, the letter R, and then 090 at gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah, the letter R.
Okay.
It stand for Rob. But, yeah, that's the initial.
Okay, so what I'll do is from now on, I'll put it on the radio blog as well. If you have any questions, comments, concerns after the lesson, discussion, should I say, then you guys can also give him, you know.
Yeah, this would be great.
I was going to say a ring. I was going to say a ring, but you can email him with any comments, questions, or concerns. Amen.
Yeah, this dialogue will be great. I've missed that, and that's what I need. That's what we need.
Yes, and I apologize because Brother Peter, I think that was him. He was trying to call long. It said long distance. It said long distance. So I think that was him, and I just missed him. And just when you had said that, he had hung up. So, and I know it's Ooh, it's probably nighttime. It's probably 11 or midnight or something in Israel. I don't know. 1 in the morning. I don't know right now. So next time I'll stay on top of it. I'm not in the house, so please forgive me. But we missed you.
Oh,
we're glad
no problem.
That everybody is well rested. We are ready to go. Amen.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue. So
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Well, until next time, Lord willing, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after next, we will be listening to Brother Rob Christian. So it's Visible Secrets, Invisible Powers. Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We love you. We love you. We love you. Grace and peace in Jesus' mighty name. You have a blessed rest of the week. And until we talk again, Bob, Rob, Christensen, we love you. Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Yeah. As truckers say, right back at you.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You want to know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.